and for more on the impact of the Bhutto assassination and how assassinations affect the long-term politics here in the U.S., we have Melissa Harris-Lacewell. She's a professor of politics and African American studies at Princeton University. Thanks for coming on, Melissa.
Oh, thanks for having me.
When we think about assassinations here in the United States, many of us think of Malcolm, of Martin, of John F. Kennedy, and of the times that that threw America into turmoil. If you go back even further, there were a series of assassinations of American presidents, one of the most prominent being of Abraham Lincoln. What does an assassination of a political leader, either one in power or someone who, like Malcolm or Martin, who was a leader of the people, do to people?
Well, what political leaders like Malcolm, Martin, and John F. Kennedy do is they provide a focal point for our political hopes and dreams. You know, if we think about Martin Luther King, for example, it's not as though the tactics and strategies that Martin King was using in the late 50s and early 60s were brand new. In fact, African Americans, ordinary people in the U.S. South, have been resisting segregation since its inception nearly 100 years before. So why was Martin so important? Well, he became a focal point, a way for us to say, you know, here this man, this charismatic, brilliant, you know, loving young man represents all of what is the best of us as a country, the best of us as a race, as a people. So his assassination was a way of indicating that the country was unwilling to put its very best to the front and instead was willing to cut down its future, its promise, its youth. And I think in many ways, this is a similar kind of thing that's going on right now in Pakistan, that a country makes a choice about what direction it's going to go in. And sometimes these assassinations of leaders look like really bad national choices, even though they're just the actions of individuals.
In the United States, have we been able to recover from assassinations? Put it in the context, for example, of this year's presidential race, where you have an African-American man running a very strong campaign. And when we had a chance to speak with Barack Obama, I asked him, in essence, was he afraid for his family? Was he afraid that he would be assassinated? How does the whole concept of assassination affect how we think about politics?
Yeah, I will say I am certain that we are not over the kind of post-traumatic drama and trauma of the assassinations of our leaders in the 1960s. And I'm certain of this because over and over again, when African Americans are polled to talk about how they feel about Barack Obama, they say, whether they're supporters or not supporters, they consistently say, I'm concerned that he'll be shot. I'm concerned that he'll be assassinated. You know, maybe I really like him, but I think they're going to kill him. You know, this they out there. And that very sense which surrounds Barack Obama and no other candidate. So in other words, Hillary Clinton is also, you know, a path-breaking candidate. She's, you know, the first woman to be at this level. And yet, rarely do you hear anyone express anxieties about the possibility of her assassination or murder. But it's a regular anxiety discussed about Barack Obama. So I'm certain that we're not over it as a country, that we fear the ways in which our deep negativities and the pain of our past might, in fact, influence our political future.
When we think about the U.S.'s relationship to Pakistan, this nation has been allied with Pakistan over issues like terrorism. At the same time, there have been a lot of moments of internal dissent within the U.S. discourse over whether we should be allied with Pakistan when it has been working to cut out the judiciary from its workings before it ended the state of emergency. During the state of emergency, the judiciary was essentially abolished from power, an undemocratic form of government, as we would see it in the United States broadly. What compromises has the U.S. made politically in order to deal with General Pervez Musharraf, to deal with Pakistan as it has been in recent times?
Well, we have made the same kinds of concessions there that we've made all over the world and that we have made historically all over the world, which is to say that we have generally found friendly dictators and or friendly authoritarians, even if they're in a so-called democratic context, to be more useful to our foreign policy than unfriendly democracies. In other words, if the people have a say, but what the people have to say is anti-American or anti-American interests, we're much less interested in democracy than we are in simply having a friend who, in fact, might be ruling in a way that's authoritarian. That's been true about our Latin American policy, our African policy, our Middle Eastern policy for decades. And it is part of, you know, the indication of a post 9/11 world that we live in, that much of what we have failed to do in our understandings of what happened at 9/11 and even our understandings of what will keep us safe in the future is that I think we fail to be self-critical enough about how our own foreign policies, in fact, create and nurture the kinds of authoritarian systems that ultimately come back to have very negative consequences in our own domestic policy.
When you look ahead at what impact this will it have any impact broadly on how Americans think about politics and power, or do we not relate to, in general, to how other nations are dealing with these questions of power, of death, of self-determination?
Yeah, most Americans are pretty American exceptionalist, which is to say we tend to think of our country as completely unique, our history as entirely sort of outside the history of the world, except for the ways that we make the world history happen. So I bet that, you know, here at the end of the year, in the spate of the holiday season, we're going to be unlikely to understand sort of broadly as a nation the ways in which this particular assassination and the possible, moves of politics in Pakistan behind this assassination are likely to have reverberations for our own foreign policy. My best hope is that it is the very height of the presidential primary season. We're about to go into Iowa and New Hampshire. And it is possible, if we imagine the very best of what our democracy could be, is that the candidates, both Republican and Democrat, will be forced to have a conversation about what this assassination means for our foreign policy and make it a part of the public discourse.
Melissa Harris-Lacewell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Melissa Harris-Lacewell is a professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton University.